Well, welcome to the latest ASA podcast with me, Dr. Chris Keel. And for once, I'm actually doing it from my own office. Amazing. Don't have to listen to airport sounds or anything else. So the question that it was posed, I guess, a while back and still relevant has to do with the housing market. The question was mortgage rates. Will it level off in Q4? Will we see 1-2% rates soon? You will never see 1-2% rates ever. It didn't get that low even when we had the big housing boom. So no, they're not going to be hitting that low. They're not even going to go back to where they were a couple years back. We've been looking at 6.5%, 7.5%, 8% mortgages for 30-year fixed, and that's going to be probably the upper end. We may see that drop down by a point or two as the interest rates decline. But remember that mortgage rates react to a lot of things other than the Fed. So they're going to react to long-term bond market prices. Those have been a lot more volatile. You are certainly going to see some variation among the lenders because the banks and the various companies that do mortgages are in competition with each other and look for opportunities when they exist. So there's always going to be a certain amount of variability within the market. Fundamentally, the Fed rate decisions are advisory when it comes right down to it. I mean, most people are aware of this, but the Fed funds rate is literally the rate that banks charge each other for overnight loans. So it doesn't really automatically trigger anything else. But when a bank is making loans and exceeds their capacity, you know, they don't have enough money on hand to handle the loans that they have made, they go out to the market and they borrow more money so that they have enough money to satisfy the requirements that are set by the Fed and other agencies. And so they just borrow from each other. And those rates are very, very low. Those are the bottom of the rate hike, I guess. So everything else follows from that generally. So the prime rate and mortgage rates and car loan rates and credit card rates and all that kind of stuff are based on that Fed funds rate. But there's nothing automatic. There's always variation because the banks and the lenders, they can decide how much they want to lower their own rates. I mean, some prime rate will come down quite a bit. Some mortgage rates will come down quite a bit. There'll be differences in terms of how car loans are handled, et cetera. So there's always a period during which the various lenders decide what they want to do when the rates change. Now, the Fed's conversation thus far is that they will be looking at rate reductions by maybe late third quarter, early fourth quarter, but a lot of that depends on what happens with employment and what happens with inflation. The two things that would basically dissuade the Fed from doing much in the way of rate reduction would be consistently high job creation. I mean, as long as the unemployment rate is as low as it is, and it's still well under 4%, remember back in Econ 101 when you were told that the normal rate of unemployment was 6%? We've not been at 6% for years. Right now, we would consider that to be rampant unemployment. So we're well under what would be considered normal. You know, we're well under 4%. So the Fed looks at that and says, well, there's no real pressure in the job market. We're still creating jobs. We still have low unemployment. So what's the hurry? I mean, why should we consider dropping interest rates when obviously the economy is so pretty healthy? The other thing they look at is inflation, obviously, and inflation numbers have come way down. They're at about 2.6 when you look at the PCE measure, which is personal consumption expenditure. The Fed would like it to be at 2, so we're very, very close to where their level has been set. But remember that what inflation is still exists is in the service sector. It's wage driven. This is sticky inflation. Really, really, really hard to bring that down. So lowering inflation when it's commodities driven or energy driven or any of the dozens of other things that push inflation, relatively easy because they respond to demand and supply. Wages don't move. Once, well, they move, but they move up. They don't come down very easy. I mean, how how do you go to people that you hired last year and said, hi, new rules, we're cutting your salary by half? Well, that won't work. Once wages go up, they stay up. And right now, there's no reason whatsoever for those wages to come down. We still have a worker shortage. Workers have the leverage. You're all aware of this. You're paying your own people more so they don't get poached. If you're poaching other people, you're paying them more so they have an excuse to leave their current employer. So the Fed and all the other central banks look at that and say, look, as long as we're dealing with this kind of service sector wage-driven inflation, we can't take our eye off the ball. Just this week, an organization called the Bank of International Settlements issued a report. Now, the BIS is the central bank, central bank. They're the international institution that kind of governs and advises and provides money as a last resort to other central banks. So the BIS has a lot of influence. It's a big research institution as well. And they issued a big report saying, hey, look, inflation is still sticky. You know, and there's reasons for that stickiness. There are factors that we've noted for years. Service sector inflation always runs almost a point, point and a half higher than even the core rate of inflation. So a lot of cautionary notes set there. The Fed is not at this point indicating that it has changed its mind on rate reduction, but this indicates that they're in not much of a hurry. So if they see a reason to delay, they will, and they might push that rate reduction into late fourth quarter, even first quarter of next year. I mean, there's no indication in their reports at this stage. You know, I'm sure that you, like me, passionately wait for the Fed minutes to come out after each meeting, you know, really gripping reading. But in those minutes, there's nothing that suggests that there's consensus about either speeding up the rate reduction or slowing it down. So back to mortgages. The mortgage situation is stabilizing to a degree. You've got banks that are still looking to do these, but it's highly regional, as everything is in housing. So as you're looking at the data, you're going to have incredibly different reactions depending on where people are in the country. I mean, if you're in Texas, you're like, oh man, housing market is on fire. If you're in North Carolina, if you're in different parts of this Arizona and Nevada, if you're in California, if you're in the Northeast, housing market is getting really stressed. House prices are high. People don't have the money necessarily to get into. I mean, there's no market at all in California for low-income homes. So very regional, very specific to the lender. We're not going to see rates come down to the 3-4% that we were used to a few years back. There's just no conceivable way that the long-term market of bonds or the Fed's decisions will take it that low. But I think it's realistic to see mortgage rates maybe consistently in the low sixes, even high fives, at some point, maybe towards the end of this year, beginning of next. That is going to be different depending on whether it's new homes or existing homes. You know the drill. There's probably 700 submarkets when it comes to housing. So with that, we'll close for this week. And next week, good knows what we'll talk about. Thanks. Bye-bye.